everyone. Hope you're all well. Welcome to the Best of Tea with Twiggy, where I put together little compilations of chats with people that I've talked to over the last few years. And today I've got two brilliant musicians, the amazing, brilliant, wonderful Ronnie Wood, and one of my new friends who I absolutely love and I'm a huge fan of, the extraordinary singer-songwriter Amy Wodge. And if you want to hear the whole episodes of these two gorgeous people, just scroll down the list on Tea with Twiggy site and you can listen to the whole conversation. Anyway, enjoy. Bye. You've written with some amazing people, haven't you? Tell me. I do.
You know, I think ever since Thinking Out Loud happened, particularly the doors opened and I had a long standing ambition to kind of go to Nashville, and I ended up buying a home there because normal circumstances, I'm there once a month, and then I have a home in LA as well, so I go there as well. So most of the time I'm traveling, and I had a kind of a list of people in Nashville that I was desperate to work with, and kind of worked my way through it, which was pretty amazing. So I had Casey Musgraves was pretty much the top of the list. So I had a song on the Golden Hour, which, you know, won a Grammy, and Keith Urban and the Dixie Chicks and Lady Antebellum. And then in LA, it kind of flips because I get to work with all sorts of like different, you know, artists, pop artists, Camila Cabello, the Jonas Brothers. I got flown to Mystique last year to do a camp with 10 people for the Jonas Brothers. And that was pretty special, it has to be said, and became really good mates with Bryan Adams as a result because he lives there, and so we kind of hung a lot.
He's lovely.
He's just a great human. He sent me something this morning that he wrote for Aretha Franklin years ago, and I kind of forget just how amazing Bryan is.
But he's also an amazing photographer. That's how I met him.
Absolutely, I know, and incredible at yoga. It's kind of sickening. Kind of sickening, and he still looks really, I mean, he's, you know, don't tell him I said, but he's really good looking. He's really hot.
No, he's got, and he's a
aged
really
well.
Lovely man.
Yes, he's gorgeous. And then in the UK, I get to sort of do, you know, I don't work as much in the UK as I do in America these days, but I do, you know, it's a very healthy mix of things. And then in amongst everything, I'm writing a musical at the moment, and then I'm doing a project with Rita Wilson, who is famously married to Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And we're doing a project called Sound of a Woman, which is going to be kind of a singer-songwriter for sort of like vagina monologues for singer-songwriters. And we're working on that show at the moment. So it's all pretty eclectic, and I like it that way, really.
So you said you go to Nashville. Well, obviously you haven't at the moment because of what's happened in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you go once a month?
I do. Yeah, I
wow.
do. And so it's as a family, it's been, you know, I've said like the lockdown is the first time I feel I've been home for any length of time in about 7 years. And so it's kind of been nice. It has. But I think that actually the way the music industry works these days, I think that so much stuff is being done in America and it's kind of pointless to not make your presence sort of, you know, known. Mm-hmm. There you have to really put the time in, and so we've worked it out that I kind of go and do a week or 10 days and then the rest of the time I'm kind of home, and my manager Fran flies with me, thank goodness. And I've got used to it. How it will be different after all of this, because I've been doing the same job over Zoom, but you know, I do want to get back in rooms.
So if you've, what's the flight to Nashville? Is it about 9 hours?
No, not even. It's like 7 hours, and there's a direct now. It used to be hideous when you went via Chicago, but now there's a direct flight and you land in daylight. It's much better than LA. LA kind of does
that's
mess
a
me
pig,
up.
Actually, I did that.
Yeah.
But I actually did some recording in Nashville in 19... Hold on, let me think. It must have been, it was before I had Carly. She was born in 78. So I did some recording there in like 1975.
Amazing.
With these amazing musicians. Because I did some, one of my friends, bless her, she's not with us anymore, was Donna Summer.
Wow.
Who I loved and adored. She was the most wonderful lady on earth. She really
incredible.
Was.
Incredible.
And
yeah.
She took me in
wow.
the studio in the 70s. In LA, we just did some, you know, tracks. I don't think we ever released anything. And then she had a mate who was in Nashville, and she said, "You've got to go to, because I love country and that sort of music." So we went to Nashville. It was hysterical.
I did an EP. I don't know whether you've found it, called Walking Disaster, which it was my sort of most recent release, you know, since all the Keeping Faith stuff. And I recorded that in Nashville, and two of the Dixie Chicks did backing vocals. Woo! I got all my friends in. I kept saying, you know, I'm not a big deal in the UK, and they're like, that's fine. And it was just extraordinary, the level of musicianship in Nashville.
I know. Well, I think I can match you with a backing singer. When I was on Broadway, I did a big Broadway show in the 80s, kind of set in the, it was Gershwin, so it was gorgeous music. Yeah. And two of my friends, one was one of the lead guitarists in Dire Straits, Hal Lindis, and another American guy. They'd written some songs, and so after the show, we'd go and do some recordings. We did a couple of good stuff, actually. And at the time, I'd met Carly Simon, and we were having dinner one night after the show, and she said, "You know, what else are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing, you know, we're doing these tracks." She said, "Oh, I'll come along. I'll sing backup." I said, "Oh, stop it."
Wow. No, that's, you've won.
I mean, everyone knows, you know, the Faces. So tell me how that all happened.
I've always followed my nose when it comes to being... when I came home from school, the Stones were just starting, and I always made a beeline to watch them and say, I'm going to be in that band. And what happens, that's my band.
Amazing.
So that was my whole thing. And the Stepping Stones on the way were when Jeff Beck left the Yardbirds. I always said to him, if you ever leave, can I ring you up? And he said, sure. So he left, I rang him up, and he said, let's form a band. And the same thing when Rod and I got together in the Jeff Beck group, our favourite band was the Small Faces. And Steve Marriott left them, we went, what the hell is he doing leaving? What the heck? So he went and formed Humble Pie, which I never really understood, and it never really worked.
Was that with Peter Frampton?
Yes, it was.
Because I knew Peter, my best girlfriend, who's still my best, Mary.
Mary.
You know Mary.
Yeah,
she's still
lovely.
My best. Oh, she's gorgeous.
Oh, give her my love.
I will. She lives in California, but she was with Peter when I first met Mary, and I think he was in Humble Pie. This would have been the late 60s. He was with Humble Pie then.
Yeah, well, that's before he had his amazing solo career, which
that's
went
right.
boom, didn't it?
He's a lovely man, lovely man. So then you met Rod with...
In the Jeff Beck group.
Okay, gotcha.
In the Intrepid Fox. Remember that pub in Wardour Street? There was a pub called The Ship.
My daddy wouldn't let me go to pubs.
Well, it was opposite the 100 Club anyway, near
okay.
enough.
I vaguely, Bucky. I know the name of it, yeah.
That was our old stomping ground, and I first met him in there, and Rod came in a Coco with a clown suit, and he said, "Hello, face." I said, "Hello, we had the same haircut, and we got on so well." Anyway, we met again in the Jeff Beck group, and then when Steve Marriott left the Faces, I rang up Ronnie Lane. I didn't know him really well. I said, "But what's going on with you guys?" He said, "What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do now." He said, "Would you come over and join?" So anyway, so I went over and played with them, with Mac and Kenny and Ronnie, and kept them going. And Rod came and joined later on. And but unknowing to me, while we were rehearsing in Bermondsey, in the Stones rehearsal room, Mick rang up and he said, "Would Ronnie be interested in joining the Stones?" Unknowing to me. And Ronnie Lane said, "He's quite happy where he is. Thank you, Mick." And he put the phone down, and I never found this out for 5 years.
If you had have known, would you have left?
I wouldn't have left the boys in the lurch, no. But the thing is, it would have been fabulous to have known that they wanted me in the band.
Absolutely. Well, especially as it was your dream.
Yeah, but I just let things cruise on and take their natural course. And sure enough, I was sitting at a Robert Stigwood party. You remember him, don't you?
I do, gosh.
And I was sitting there next to Mick Jagger and Mick Taylor. And Mick Taylor leaned across to Jagger and he said, "I'm leaving the band." And Mick looked at me and he said, "What? What was that?" And he said, "I'm serious. I'm leaving." And he got up and walked out.
Why?
I don't know. And Jagger turned to me, he said, what am I going to do now? And I said, well, he said, would you join? And I said, you know, I would, but I'm already in a band. And he went, yeah, you are. He said, if I get really desperate, could I ring you? And I said, sure.
So did you ever actually play with the Faces and the Stones at the same time?
Yeah, in the year 1975, I did two Faces tours and one Stones tour in America.
Oh, my goodness. That's I mean, you are all rock and roll royalty. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to those little snippets from Ronnie and Amy. And again, if you want to listen to the whole episodes, please go to the Tea with Twiggy podcast site and scroll down till you find the one you're looking for. Okay, I hope you enjoy them. Bye.